Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Anime Lounge Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, alongside with my other host, Lance. For every episode, we have an adult beverage of choice. Today, I'm doing something a little bit easy, which is a Monster and vodka until I get to my Driftless Glen, you know, mixing things up a little bit. Lance, what are you drinking today?
Same deal, except I have like one sip left on my vodka Monster.
Yeah, I have like three. So.
And then because I already have a buzz started after that, I'm going to go back into the very shitty Yamato Japanese whiskey because that's going to be the only way I can get through that shitty whiskey. And then to top that off, of course, we have our new Glarus Spotted Cow.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think it's been a minute since we've had a Spotted Cow. I guess I don't remember. I think I've been drinking the Carry the G recently.
Oh, maybe. I know through my editing, I have been drinking Spotted Cow.
Yep.
With the exception of one Michelob Ultra.
Oh, yeah. That's what
so
it was.
So that was the last one that I released a month ago as of what you guys are listening to at this moment. Because we are a month in advance.
Yeah. I will say I'm really looking forward to this episode because we have a curveball for everybody when it comes to this one. We basically were like, hey, let's do it this way this time. And we went from there. Lance had some extra time. So he is actually going to be providing us the differences between the anime and, in Lance's case, the light novel. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it because, man, that manga was not that much. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's because of time constraints. I just so happen to go above and beyond on my end and do this stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad you were able to kind of do something a little bit different this time.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too carried away with all of our pre-drops and stuff like that, Matt, let's tell everybody what we're going to be covering today.
Yes, we are going to be covering 86. It is a 23/26 episode series so far, at least season one.
Depending on if you cover all the mini bonus fake episodes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Slash.
Yeah. Yep.
If you skip those, it's 23 episodes. Yep. To give a quick synopsis of what 86 is about, we have, according to my anime list, because I could not come up with anything as far as a synopsis for this one. So thank you, my anime list. It says, according to the Republic of San Magnolia, their ongoing war against the Empire has no casualties. However, that is mere propaganda. While the silver-haired Alba of the Republic 85 sectors live safely behind protective walls, those of different appearances are interned in a secret 86 faction. Known within the military as the 86, they are forced to fight against the Empire's autonomous legion under the command of the Republican handlers. Milazé is assigned to the Spearhead Squadron to replace their previous handler. Shunned by her peers for being a fellow 86 supporter, she continues to fight against their inhumane discrimination. Nozin is the captain of Spearhead Squadron, infamous for being a sole survivor of every squadron he's been in. He insists on shouldering the names and wishes of his fallen comrades. While the fates of these young souls from two different worlds collide, will it ignite the spark that lights their path to salvation, or will they burn themselves in the flames of despair? Whew, that was a long one.
That is very long and odd for that kind of a website to just like throw at you.
That's a mouthful.
Whew. Usually those are a lot shorter. I mean, we know that this anime itself is fucking thick with information.
Yes. Yeah, no, there was so much that happened in this one.
This fucking scotch sucks so bad.
Do you need it?
Oh, no. I'll tell the listeners. The Buchanan Select, I think that's what I'm drinking, right?
No,
it's the Yamato. Oh, my God, this is the Yamato.
Yeah, this turpentine
sucks so bad.
Lance is not drunk enough.
I'm not even drunk enough to drink this stuff yet. Oh, whatever, I'll man up.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, no, there's... This is one of those series you could probably watch two or three times. Like, sit down, pay attention to everything, watch two or three times and be like, how did I miss that?
Exactly. And that's exactly how I felt, too.
Yeah, there's just so much that happens in this series. It's insane.
Right. And before we even get into a little bit more nitpicky details, we're switching roles. So, Matt, you want to hit us up with some Lance's lessons?
Yeah, let's just throw everything for a wrench and do everything backwards this time around. For today, the Lance's lesson is going to be revolution. The reason why I picked revolution is because, in essence, that's what the entire series is about. Whether you want to take it from Milosevic's point of view, or the 86, or the other nations that you find, it's all about revolution. Revolution is Kakume. K-A-K-U-M-E-I. Kakume. So, figured that'd be a good one for this time around.
Yep, it's definitely something we haven't done in the past, and yeah, very fitting, because the 86 is just trying to just, I don't know, get away from being an 86.
Yep, they just want to be free. That's all they want, and that's essentially what every revolution is.
Right.
Yeah, hope everybody enjoyed that. Because of how the series ends and what Lance knows, I want to ask this before we get into the manga mentions. Before you got to where you're at in the light novel, wherever you are, did you feel this was a good conclusion to the series? Like the last episode, did you feel it was a good, if it ended here, I'd be fine. Ooh. Or it'd be okay?
Okay, that's a very good question, because as an anime watcher,
yes,
I could see this being a relatively good semi-clean ending.
Yep.
Because we not only did we take care of one boss, yep, being Shin's brother,
yep,
but we also took care of the Morpho, which was an even bigger boss. Like that was a pretty big-ass boss.
Almost seemed like a final boss kind, right, of boss.
So he was a big dude, and we ended that, and we got a very happy ending with Shine and crew meeting up with Lena.
Yeah.
And it's a very beautiful ending. So it sounds like it's a very happy ending.
Yep.
But when you think about it, the Legion is still out there.
Yep.
So
in the context of the series, though, if they said that was it, would you be okay with it? Or would it bother you?
That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's going to be a yes and no. Okay. Yes, because it's a beautiful ending.
Okay.
The crew met up with Lena.
Yep.
And it's very beautiful, very tear-shedding moment at the very end.
Yep.
Things seem to be perfect.
Yep.
And if you take that as it is, yeah, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. But then if you take a step backwards and be like, but there's the world is still on fire. So this, yes, can't be the end. So that's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
It also doesn't help to know that I know that there's 11 volumes out there at the moment. So,
and you know. Yeah. It,
so,
which is why I prefaced my question the way I did.
Right. That's false bias to begin with, because I watched this anime before I even knew about the light novels to begin with.
Yes.
And everything I just said was how I felt prior to my knowledge of the light novels, period. So.
Okay. Yep.
That's not bias coming out of it. Even though I said that a minute ago. That's just additional information.
Yes.
Anyway, yes, that's exactly how I felt. What did you think?
I pretty much agree with you. If I was told, that's it, the series is over, I would have been like, okay, everybody gets the ending they want, which is essentially Milosevic joins up with the survivors of the 86 that she's been fighting to save. And essentially, Nozin got what he wanted, which is essentially he had something to look forward to. He finally became a person while the world was still on fire. You could just be like, oh, well, they're finally getting together. All the nations are getting together. We can just assume that they're going to save the world, and that's it. We don't need another season to tell us that the world has been saved.
Right. You're basically under the assumption that the other four nations make a unity pact.
Yep.
And the ultimate resolution is going to be the end of the Legion.
Yep.
We know the end of the story, so let's just end it on a happy-go-lucky boy meets girl, and they finally came together, they finally met again.
Instead of making it happen twice, or the world being saved, they're together anyways, now that it's over, we basically, all right, killed Big Boss, we finally got to meet up, we finally got to be together, series is over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would... I was perfectly accepting of that being a conclusion of this series.
And yeah, just like we did talk about, I would have been okay with it.
Yes.
The assumptions are made. You know, you're going to assume it's going to be a happy ending.
Yep.
But the whole point of the story was, and I'm only saying this because I know the author said so,
yep,
that it is a boy meet girl kind of situation. They finally ended up meeting in the end.
Yep.
So that's kind of the point.
Yep.
But there's still all the world building. There's still the actual happy ending that we need to reach. So that's why all that gets messed up.
Yep. So, Lance, why don't you kind of let us know how far did we get in the light novel?
Nani? God!
Right. So I'm going to take over in Matt's manga mentions. And like Matt was trying to get at, season one, all 23 episodes of full episode length kind of stuff, covers the first three volumes of the light novels.
Okay.
And as of today, the end of February 2024, there is 11 volumes out there.
Okay.
So we are 3 out of 11 volumes done, which sounds pretty insane because you thought that this was a lot of information. There is so much more, apparently.
Yeah, let's get into this.
I will say it took me about 16 hours worth of listening to this light novel. So I give mad props to Matt, who has done this in the past with light novel shit, because he's covered multiple volumes in the past. And I am experiencing this for the first time. And man, does it take up a lot of time. And you have to pay attention to stuff. And you can't be multitasking all the time versus whatever. Anyway, it took me a long time to listen to this. And I picked up on quite a few things. So I'm just going to go through my list of notes. So Lena and Annette are at the age of 16. And they skipped a grade. So it's very interesting that they're that young.
And for anybody that doesn't remember, Annette is essentially her best friend, who is the tech guru.
Yeah, they're that young and they have that much respect slash control, or they have that level of...
It makes a lot more sense on, like, that context makes a lot more sense on why people treated 86 and them the way they did.
Sure. And I can get into that in a second, too. So another difference is there was a more technical term for the 86, and that is Colorata, Colorata.
Okay.
Colorata basically is the umbrella of everybody who is not Alba. And okay, there was like, they talked a lot about two kinds of groups. Like there was an Onyx group and there was like a form of a Red group, but there was basically many more groups of people who were not Alba. And anybody in that category was considered Colorata, who were ultimately deemed 86. So in terms of anime, they were always the 86. They were the lesser species. But in the light novel, they were referred to as the Colorata more frequently.
Okay. So my question is, did they know about other nations?
Volume 1 didn't talk about other nations. They talked about other, I would almost want to say cultures.
Okay.
Like different... Like different countries of people, like how we would say Germans and Italians and Canadians and whatever.
Yep.
That's basically how they treated these Colorados.
So basically they deemed every nation unworthy, essentially.
Right.
Okay.
Which we can talk about post this stuff is like why this is very, very relatable to like German shit.
Yep.
So we'll get into that in the future because I'm sure that's a very obvious connection we can make then. Another note I have is prior handlers to the Spearhead crew, which remember Spearhead was where Shin and his crew were part of. They were part of the elite crew, like the end of the line crew. They were the best of the best, and they were basically put there to basically die, which you might know or might not know. Maybe I'll get there in the future. But anyway, handlers of Spearhead would fall asleep. They would play video games. They would purposely watch them die as if it was a movie, and they would place bets. And that's the light novel went into that kind of detail to really explain why the handlers were pieces of shit, and that's why they never lasted.
That makes a lot more sense, and why they disliked their handlers.
Right.
Like, it'd be one thing if you just kind of weren't useful in the same sense that Lena is useful, because she goes above and beyond, but if you're just kind of like, oh yeah, hey, there's stuff over there, like, just being kind of not necessarily a hindrance, but you're purposely discriminatory and all these other very terrible acts, not just useless. Mm-hmm. So makes a lot of sense.
It reflects completely on why the entire region does not consider the 86 actual humans.
Yep.
One of my notes says the Empire controls the Legion and the Empire lost the war for 4 years ago. Not exactly sure why I wrote that down.
Okay.
Maybe anybody else listening might understand that one. I'm just going to skip over it for the moment. They kind of said this next part in the anime, but I just kind of want to bring this to point for everyone to know. All legions have 50,000 hours of operating time, which equates to about 2 years of time left of operation.
Yep.
Which is 6 years of total operation after their initial start time, which was a fail safe kind of thing.
Okay. So they don't go, I don't think they go into the last part, but they definitely go into the 2 years.
Right.
They mentioned that part, yep.
Which was important because that's what everybody in San Magnolia were to understand, because they received, they operated on machinery that gave them that kind of information. But that was early on in the anime, and we came to learn that information was false. And this so-called 2 years of operation time got overrided. This is non-existent anymore.
Yep.
The Legion overpowered that because of stealing brains and stuff.
Yep, which they do go in, which Shin goes into, or he makes mention of, I guess is the best way to say it.
Right. So I just wanted to make that point known, that there was a moment that there was a time frame that everybody understood was going to happen. That's why everybody in San Magnolia didn't care about this war to a degree, and why it's so important that this update means basically the end of human existence at San Magnolia, which we'll find out in the second half of season one.
Yep.
So fun information there. We learned a little bit more about Shin. We learned that he is half Aquila and half Rubella, which means nothing. It just, like, kind of what I was getting at with the Colorado, there's so many different, like, minor branches off of people, like, different, just whatever, just like different countries.
Yep.
Different things. And both of them fall over the Colorado. And one other big information difference was the color of his scarf.
Okay. Yeah, it's white in
the anime.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's not white.
In the book, it is sky blue. It is 100% against code, but he still wears a sky blue scarf the entire time.
Alrighty then.
And it wasn't just mentioned once or twice. It was mentioned quite a few times. So a sky blue scarf is 100% what he wears.
The only thing I could see is that it contrasts.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
too
just,
much.
I'm sure it was just a visually stupid thing to do in the anime.
Yeah, like
white. White just is so much more simpler to animate.
Well, it blends into him a little bit better, and then like it lets viewers kind of focus more on his face. Because I have a feeling if I saw somebody wearing white and or black and red, pretty sure that's their colors, black, red, and white.
Well, back in season, well, I guess we gotta say core one.
Yeah.
The first 11 episodes, they were brown.
Okay, so yeah, it probably just clashes to like
it's a big clash. Like sky blue on brown, that's fucking weird.
But it does go within his personality where he doesn't give a shit about anything. Mm-hmm. So
I don't remember anything why he chose that color.
No, they don't go.
Anybody who's listening right now, I listened to this on YouTube with robotic talk to me.
Yeah.
It was very monotone. I listened to the best that I could. I picked up on a lot of stuff, but like I'm pretty sure they didn't mention why he wore sky blue versus why he's wearing white in the anime. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like it's just a contrast thing where it just people would focus too much on the blue versus the white.
100% agree.
Yep.
Also, Shin was about to turn 16.
So Lena is a little bit older, essentially.
A little bit older, yes. The fabricated reports that Shin sent every day that was the same exact thing started 5 years ago.
So, sorry, say that again?
There was a moment in the anime where Lena was flipping through pages that was page after page after page, and everything was the exact same. And those were supposed to be reports from the 86 that was...
Oh, yes.
That was Shin literally reporting the same exact piece of paper for 5 years straight.
That's fun.
Yeah, because Lena was the first one to notice that.
Because she...
Because she actually took notice, yeah.
Now I remember, because she was talking about how he was essentially not doing his paperwork.
Yep.
And, okay, I did miss, like, what the punchline was, but I remember her telling him, like, oh, you need to actually do it. He's like, all right, I guess I'll do my reports next time. So, yeah.
Which makes it funny because later in the season we see, which makes it funny because Fido is the one writing the report in the second half of the season. So it's funny that because he's not even writing it. He's making Fido write all. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's no one has to worry about anything.
Yep.
Shin spoke out a phrase from the Bible, quote, deceit ie legio nomen mine. And then Theo was the one that took notice to this. And he said, that's a very creepy phrase to say, which means the Messiah asked the devil or a demon for his last name. Hmm. And his answer was, I am Legion. Oh, I guess the specific quote was, I am Legion, for we are many. But anyway, the point was, Theo picked up on that and he didn't, it was weird. Also, there was a post note at the end of the book where the author made mention that there was a small handful of biblical phrases that he chose to throw into this. Okay. So this was one of them that I just so happened to pick up on.
Okay.
So just something to throw out there. It was just, yeah. So we are Legion. We are many kind of thing. So
interesting. Okay.
The ghosts that the Legion use, brains, artificially copied them. The brains would rot otherwise, and they would transfer them from Legion to Legion. So I do kind of remember the anime talking about that a little bit, but the rotting aspect is why I wanted to bring focus to this in the light novel. I don't remember if the anime talked about that.
No.
So what it really meant was, obviously there's like a million different Legion out there.
Yep.
And every single one of those Legion are considered, at this moment, like these new Legion are, the good ones have brains in them, or at least artificial brains.
Okay.
So that's why it was important for Shin to shoot everybody in the head.
Yep.
So that the Legion take their brains, so that the Legion can become a little bit more powerful because of...
They would essentially copy, right? Copy the brains of the fallen comrades.
Right. And it would just be copying their smartness and giving their smartness to the Legion.
Yep.
So what the Legion can do is copy that brain.
Okay.
And just transplant it into literally any... I suppose if they really wanted to, they can transplant Kiri's brain into other ones, which they kind of did at the end of the season, because Kiri was the giant-ass fucking thing, and Shine blew it up. And then there was a moment where there was just a normal little spider that was approaching Shine. And he was like, it was episode 22, I think.
Okay.
And this was when Shine and Lena first met up. And Lena's crew was the one that blasted off this little spider. Shine was about to be killed by just a normal spider because he was literally out of energy. He couldn't do anything to protect himself anyway. So the transplantation of these brains were a thing. So they went into detail about how 86 babies, like the people of the 86, babies were sold for money to the Alba, who wanted slaves or organ future transplants. So dark information there.
Yeah, fucked up stuff.
Yeah. When Annette called her 86 friend a colored in the, I don't know if you remember that.
It was like the flashback. Yeah.
Right? Yep. Like she called him a colored.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, to people like us, like that sounds insanely racist. So that's why I remember that so clearly. In the light novel, they called him a stain.
Yeah, because he had black hair versus the silver hair. Makes sense. And I took it as the same thing because, again, he had black hair versus the silver hair.
They didn't mention stain, though.
No, they said colored.
Okay, yes. Just to make sure. Like, I'm pretty sure stain was a light novel thing.
Yes.
And just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that boy, that person that she called a colored, a stain.
Yes.
That was actually Shin.
Yes. Yeah, they do specifically say it.
They do say it. My first time going through this anime. Yep. Didn't put two and two together.
Okay.
But just so our audience is under the same impression.
Yep.
That person that Annette could have saved and she was embarrassed or wanted to be part of the culture and didn't want to be part of the 86 and didn't want to protect the 86, that boy that she turned down was Shin.
Yep.
So that's why she feels so bad in the future. Shin and Rei are 10 years apart. So Shin and his older brother.
Okay.
And the war started when his older brother, Rei, was 17.
Okay.
So Shin was 7, Rei was 17.
Yep. Which also explains why Rei was so much more traumatized by the war.
Mm-hmm.
So good background information.
Yep. It is literally just a little information. When the war first started, adults could fight to save another person. So what this really means was one adult could go into war and save one person. So a family, a father and a wife, could go into war to save two of their children. It's basically a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that's what they explained.
Do they still have to do the 5-year commitment? Or they didn't get into it?
They didn't really go into that much detail that I really caught on to. Probably. Okay. But okay. The real thing that I really picked up on was it was a one-for-one kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's... It really doesn't make too much sense because unless there was a third relative, that's why Rei, the older brother, was really, really mad at Shin for mom dying. Because mom went into the war, Shin was able to survive.
Yeah.
And then she ended up dying and then he ended up flipping out. It kind of doesn't make sense. But yeah. The point of the deal was they basically sacrificed themselves so that the two boys can survive. And Rei inevitably went into war also because, you know, fuck the 86.
Yes. What probably happened was the mom volunteered for the war for Shin and then ends up dying. So then Rei ends up blaming Shin for the mom dying. If he would have stayed alive long enough, he would have realized that she was going to die anyway.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. He was just mad that mom died, and it was for Shin's
survival. Yeah, I get it. It's a fucked up thing to think about, but it is war, so it makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it just sucks.
Yep. Is this still volume one?
This is still volume one.
All right.
Lena never ran through the town as the crew left towards their freedom. So this is towards the end of core one. So at the final fight after the brother killed, after Shin killed his brother.
Yep.
And then everybody was about to just go past the lines of the Legion.
Yep.
And Lena was fucking running through town.
For whatever
like
reason.
Like some bimbo bitch. That never happened.
Some lunatic. Yes. Yeah,
that never happened. Lena never, she never ran. So that's whatever.
Yeah. She stayed in her chair like what she should have done. Yes. Yep,
that's,
makes sense.
That's basically what happened.
Creative liberty, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Dramatization. That's exactly what that was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Great for anime drama. That's all it is. Yeah.
Yep.
The cat never led Lena to the drawer where the notes were.
Okay.
So this was when Lena was on her probation period and she explored.
She's doing whatever the fuck she wanted. Yes.
Right. She did ultimately come across the drawing and all the fun notes that everybody left behind.
She was probably just going through the desk, kind of reminiscing.
Yeah. She just went to a place and just, she came across it.
Makes much more sense.
In the anime, the cat led her to the drawer. That's not what happened. So I just wanted to make that point clear. The cat was of no importance.
The cat had zero fucks about any toys.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense.
Now, here is where a very fucking weird thing happens.
Okay.
So that's where the book itself kind of ends. And then we go into a quote unquote epilogue.
Okay.
Now the epilogue says there's a 2-year skip after Bloody Regina was explained. You know, we know about Bloody Regina. Well, I mean, I can get into it in a minute. Again, we can talk. Anyway, the Legion broke through Sector 85 and invaded. That's okay. I'm going to skip those notes. The final scene in this epilogue talks about how the end of Core 2 really is. You know, when Shine and everybody is behind him and like, hey, this is not the first time we've actually met, but this is the first time we've actually seen each other, whatever. Yep. That's part of the epilogue in this first book. So we go from...
Basically, they do a time skip to...
A huge time skip. We go from the 86th end to freedom and then epilogue. Here we are. They finally fucking meet. It was so infuriating. But they just spoiled that stupid information. It's almost like the author did not expect to make another book afterwards.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, hey, if this series never continues, this is the conclusion to the series.
But the funny part is that there was author notes that are, when I was listening to this, these are all post things. So the author could have gone back and just erased these epilogue bullshit because it spoils everything, period.
But if it's already published, it's right. Not going to change anything.
Right. But still, I mean, you can fix it as early as possible. I don't know. It was just annoying. I was blown that kind of information was already spoiled.
So just kind of looking into it, Volume 1, Volume 2, and 3 all came out in the same year.
Oh, wow. Dude was writing fast. There was some post notes of Volume 1. The author wanted to include garter belts for everybody because he found them sexy. Actually, I think the author was a female. So I think she found them sexy. She wanted the 86 to wear them?
Yeah, kind of like Marines.
Yeah. You know, yeah. For our listeners, garter belts are just those straps that go around your thighs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they just strap on and like...
Not Marines, but... garter belts are... Are you thinking of...
I Googled it. They're the straps that go around your thighs for when you want to strap yourself onto anything that... Like if you're going to be hanging from something.
Okay.
Like there's garter belts that you can... Anyway.
I just think of holster... Or thigh holsters, that's kind of what I think of.
What the author wanted was those, yes. So straps going around your thighs that can make things more sexier. And that's exactly what they wanted, but the animators slash the whoever was going to release all the stuff said, like, no, let's just make this more realistic. Yep. We don't have to make this like that. So they went above it.
She published the first three books 6 months apart. January, July, December.
Oh, so it was almost 2 years.
No, like it was all 1 year. January of 17, July of 17, December of 17.
Oh my God.
That's when she published the first three books.
Wow.
Yeah, that's shit, impressive. That's
fast.
That's okay, impressive.
Good for her.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Sorry, continue.
Sorry. All right. The straps were just a bonus thing. It didn't happen. Whatever. And then she went into detail about how Lena's hair represents the blood of the spearheads that she thought she lost. So the reason why she has that red stripe going through her hair is because it represents the loss of Shine and his crew that she assumed died on that battlefield.
Makes sense.
And I'll talk about a little bit of that more in Volume 4, which is bonus information that I'll throw at you. I'll say this now. I listened to the first two chapters of Volume 4. It's nothing spoiler-esque. It's okay. Just fun information that I'll throw at you guys.
Okay.
Anyway, get into Volume 2, which is basically everything at this point happens after Shine killed his brother and moved forward. So the Gi'ad called their machines Valkyries. This part confused me because this is another fucking confusing part. The beginning of Volume 2 starts with the battle of Eugene and his death. So
if you want to remind us who Eugene is
right. Yeah. So this Eugene, for everybody, he's the one that has the little sister, and she's the one who's mad that he died, and he's at the end of the grave, whatever. That's at the end of the series. Anyway, Eugene he's the happy-go-lucky boy.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, they start this book out with a big battle scene.
Really get you into it.
Because in the anime, we don't get to see Eugene's death. So this is a big difference. In the anime, Eugene just goes into battle and dies, and that's that. Nothing too dramatic happens in this. It's just like any other mech battle. It's just like any other battle in this whole entire story. There's a battle. He dies, and at the end, he asks Shine to put a bowl in his head, and he, you know, so he doesn't become part of the Legion.
Makes sense.
So that's an hour plus worth of listening to this fucking book. So yeah, that's how this Volume 2 starts. In addition to, for whatever reason, the Gi'ad Federacy calls their machines Valkyries. They go back and forth between calling them Regan Leaves and Valkyries. I don't understand the difference. I'm sure I can dive deeper into it, but...
Yeah, you might get explained later or something crazy like that.
There's so many mech differences that goes on. Like, there's...
Yeah, we've seen a handful of different looking mechs in the series. So right. They probably go... I'm assuming they go way in depth of each individual one.
They do.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. This author loves to go into detail about the way these things look, the way they act, the way they move. There's whatever. I'm not going to go into details. Read it if you really want to know. I know they mentioned this in the anime, but I wrote it as a comment just so everybody understands. Frederica was a mascot, someone who the soldiers could aim to protect and do better on the battlefield. They need that mascot with someone to just work towards.
Yep.
And I sub note, imagine the mental strain that the mascot could go through after losing so many soldiers. So I guess that's a discussion point right there. Like,
yeah, could you imagine being that person?
And plus, these are supposed to be little girls. You're supposed to think of these girls as your little sister.
Yeah.
And then those little girls' surprise when half their unit shows back up. And like, what happened to the rest of my brothers?
Oh, just kidding.
How that little girl is supposed to be your influence in this battle, and then she's the one going to be breaking down if only half of them show back. Anyway.
And telling you to go kill yourself? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There's pros and cons to this concept. I don't like the idea of it. I get the initial idea. Sure, it makes sense. But like, there's no way in practice that this makes sense. One of my notes says, the first quarter talked about Frederica and Eugene and his death, then jumped back to Fido's death and the rest of the crew. Yeah, so
basically we go from like episode 16 to episode
12,
13.
Yeah, we go into the middle of the season back to the beginning of the season or the core.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it fucking threw me through. I was when I was listening to this, I had no idea what the fuck I was listening to. I did have to listen to it twice because it didn't make sense. We're talking about Eugene, we're talking about Frederica, like, why did I miss something? Did I miss a whole entire volume? Because you're explaining characters who have not been explained yet, but they do a stupid ass job about like, oh yeah, we'll explain them in the second half of volume 2.
No, that makes complete sense.
Fucking pissed me off. I hated it so much. I understand why they might be cool and do something like that, but no, didn't work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so eventually after we get through all the bullshit, volume 2 eventually kicks off with Fido's memories and how everybody moved forward afterwards. So we get, I don't know if you're, Fido's memories, that was a very fun concept in the anime. I do want to say I'm not familiar with them stopping at a school and having a moment at the school.
Yes, it's
a very
maybe cute, half an episode.
Yeah, it's a very cute scene in the anime.
Yep.
Again, I listened to it. I was at a point where it was very boring. I have actually
zero recollections of the school.
I have zero memory of anything happening at the school. They do make a mention, like they do in the anime, about how they wish they could have something to look at when they're traveling before Shinae fucking collapses the path and goes and fights along himself.
Yep.
That's the only thing that I'm thinking of that maybe I just like fucking blacked out at that moment. Like, I don't, it was so boring. But there's that. My next note says, the shepherd keeps yelling, I'll kill them all. That was a voice from Shin's recognition from earlier 86 Spearhead days.
Okay.
I think I was getting at was that may have happened and Shin heard it because it was a ghost, obviously.
Yep.
But Shin recognized his voice, period, because... Remember, Shin has been in the service for 5+ years.
Yep.
And Kirei died 4 years ago. So technically, Shin's powers has been part of him longer than Kirei has been alive. So
yep.
So Shin might know who he is, period.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe that anymore.
Yep.
There's an overlap that Shin can understand who Kirei is to a small degree. Okay, so after this point, everything's normal. And then I'm pretty sure the whole zoo moment didn't happen either.
That would make sense.
where there was a random fucking Legion member following them, and then Shinne put a mercy bullet into that machine. I think that happened. They did make mention that there was a machine following them, but I don't remember a zoo of any sorts being involved at all. So okay.
Makes sense.
I'm not going to claim that never happened, but I don't remember a zoo being mentioned at all. So whatever. Now we're going to get to the point where the Federacy took in the crew.
Okay.
Everything happened normally.
So this is after the fight with the... Or no, not after the... This is right at the end of the series, like episode 22.
So if you want to be technical, this is where the Morpho first fucked everybody up.
Yep.
Before we knew who the Morpho was.
Yep.
And the Federacy took in R86 crew.
Yep.
So after everybody was given the okay to let live and whatever, and everybody was given the okay to be themselves.
Yep.
So one stupid difference, Raiden, you know, the cool guy with the slicked back hair, Shin's best friend.
Okay. Yep.
In the anime, his job was basically a moveman. He was talking about moving like refrigerators, and if you have the right leverage, you can move a fridge, whatever, with ease.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
In the light novel, he was a mailman.
Okay. He still moved things.
He moved. Yeah, he moved paper, not big metal objects.
You sometimes move, not as a mail carrier, no. So
my next note is Kirie was not a direct descendant of the Nozen family.
Who?
Kirie,
okay, yep.
The big machine guy, the big baddie. They did make mention of that in the anime. I just kind of wanted to make that another, I just wanted to put focus on that. And another focus that they also mentioned in the anime, I just want to bring focus again, is that Kirie is 4 years older than Shin is.
Okay.
So like I just said a couple minutes ago, like when Shin started in his shit, like technically they would have gone to war together.
Yes, potentially. I guess it depends on how old Kirie was when he died. Because say he died at, I don't know, 16, he just would have been too, he would have not been old enough. Or Shin wouldn't have been old enough to be a part of 80, like the 86 fighting.
Right.
He started at 11.
No, Shin started when he was 10-ish.
Yeah.
Because that's when the anime was showing that he first found Fido. There's a lot of crosshairs there, and they were fighting together or whatever. I would imagine that future volumes or the anime would just make those kind of crossroads up. They could have had an opportunity to meet each other because technically, they had 1 year of opportunity to meet each other.
Yes.
So my next note is, after Frederica was found in Fido in the final battle, they had a lunch that they shared over... Okay, let me just explain this whole scene.
Okay.
And because I did do this side by side. In the anime, do you remember when Frederica appeared out of nowhere and she was meowing inside of Fido?
Yes.
So
yeah, they were like the beginning of their first rest area or something like that. Yep.
So nothing of too importance going on. Whatever. They kicked Frederica out and they had a lunch. In the anime, they brushed over all this. And at the end of a scene, they showed some lunch trays like in a garbage kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
The light novel explains this whole thing.
Okay.
So what happens in the light novel is that all of these military people have these self-heating packets.
MREs.
Oh, you're a military person, you know.
Yes.
So what they did was they pulled these strings and their meals automatically heated up.
Very interesting.
And I've watched a handful of other Japanese videos. It just maybe it's common enough in Japan where they have these self-heating meals. Anyway, the point is they're in the middle of a battle territory. Frederica exposes herself. She followed our crew when she wasn't supposed to. She was supposed to stay behind where it's safe, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
They have a nice little meal. What they don't show in the anime is this lunch meal. Yes, they have a nice little hot meal, but what Frederica is expressing is that the smell and the taste of death is in the air.
Okay.
So these meals that they have are protein-based at the same time.
Okay.
So, like, beef and stuff.
Yeah.
So, her protein pack, she wants to gag because the smell of burning flesh is overtaking her. So okay. It's just an emotional thing that's going on at this point. So
yeah.
She asked to switch someone for fish because she can't take beef over whatever. Yeah. The point is she can't take what's going on the battlefield because she's a child.
She needs those veggie omelets or something like yeah. that. Gross. You don't want a veggie omelet. Just throwing that out there. Anybody who ever sees an MRE completely pass over a veggie omelet.
Right. Another big thing is when the Morpho exploded, Kiri didn't push Frederica into safety. So okay. in the anime, we ended up seeing that the Morpho, Kiri, had these makeshift hands that pushed Frederica out of the way of the explosion after he officially died.
And then basically protected her.
Yeah, protected her. That never happened in the light novel.
That makes more sense.
What happened actually was Fido came, grabbed Frederica with one of his claw arms.
Yep.
And just fucking ran away. It wasn't a massive explosion.
It wasn't a giant self-destruction
thing. I think there was, like I said, like I listened to this very casually at the same time. Yep. But I did pick up on that very specifically because I listened to it twice.
Yeah.
I tried to listen. It didn't sound too specific.
Okay.
I think there was still a self-destructive system.
But it wasn't like
but it wasn't crazy.
Yeah. Makes sense. It would have been a bomb that would destroy Morpho so that the enemy couldn't reuse it, but it's not with the intent of trying to kill everybody in the region.
Probably. Because I did pay attention enough that everything happened exactly, except for the fact that Frederica got picked up by Fido and Fido fucking ran away with him.
That makes more sense.
That's perfectly understandable. I was going to bring this up in the future during note-taking, but those fucking wings that came out of the Morpho,
yeah,
those are cables.
Okay.
The light novel described them as, they were as thick as baby arms.
Okay.
Which is very weird that they would say baby arms.
Oddly specific, yes. Yeah,
exactly. And the purpose of all of those cables were for close combat. So
makes sense.
That makes sense. Because you see in the anime that those arms will grab missiles and they'll throw them and stuff like that. Like, it's not just for show. It's not for wings. They're for close combat. And they were for a very specific purpose.
Were they electrified as well, like they were in the anime?
Not really. I mean,
it might have been a visual thing, too.
They were just these close... All they really described was close combat cables. Because Kiri, much like Sheen, specialized in close combat.
Yep.
So they wanted to make that point clear. Like, it was close combat versus close combat, and who was going to come out victorious. You know, we obviously know how that was going to end, but
yep.
Yeah, there was that. So it was interesting that they went into a little bit more information about those cables, those fake wings.
Okay.
A couple episodes prior, when Frederica was meowing inside of Fido.
Okay, yep.
Shen came up to Frederica and gave her his gun and said, hey, if you ever get into a position where you're going to be captured, blow your brains out, whatever.
Yep.
After Kire died, Frederica had a moment. She got angry and she like threw his gun.
Yep.
You know, she did the whole scene where she put a bullet into the air to catch Kire's attention and put the gun to her head. All of that happened. That was all normal. At the end of everything, she threw the gun. And then after quite a while, the gun was retrieved, but the gun was cracked in half. Okay. So I made sure to try to pay attention to this in the anime after I rewatched it. This never happened where the gun was retrieved.
No, the gun was in the Morpho. Like, it was infused with something. I don't remember exactly what. I remember them making mention of it, but I don't remember exactly why they couldn't. Basically, she's like, oh, well, your gun's... you can't use your gun anymore.
Oh, no. I wrote...
It was at the very end. I remember that part, but I don't remember.
Right here at episode 22, she says, I lost the gun you gave me.
Yeah, then they show it, and I want to say it's like infused with one of the mechs it's infused with. So I think it got infused in the Morpho after...
So what happens is, at this point in the light novel, Frederica had thrown the gun into the field, and then it was retrieved a moment later, like whatever, a little bit of time has passed by, and the gun is cracked, it's broken. This is why, I don't know if you've ever really paid attention to the opening theme song to the anime.
No, and I skip it every time.
Right? I understand. But as you approach like the minute 20 marker, there is, you know, you have the 86 and then the 86 is the border. And then behind that border is a gun.
Okay.
If you pay attention to that gun, it's like broken in half.
Okay.
That is to represent this moment right here where this gun that Frederick was given by Shin a couple chapters ago, it's that broken gun. That's all that means.
I wonder if I go on Crunchyroll if I can see it in like the icon or something.
You can probably pull it up. And then the last part about season one is that Shin didn't leave a photo of him and Eugene at Eugene's grave.
For the sister. Yep.
For the sister. What happens at the end, this is all epilogue stuff. It blew my fucking mind. It pissed me off so much when I was listening to this book because I was listening to it. And the book ends with Shin talking to Lena, like in that battlefield. All that stuff happens normally.
Okay.
And then the book just fucking ends. But then there's the quote unquote epilogue. So that explains the rest of season one shit. It explains literally everything. So everything at this point is normal. But except for the point where Shin goes to Eugene's grave and leaves that photo of them two smiling together. And then there's that in the anime where there's that dude, that douchebag who's like, I just wanted someone to blame. Yep. And then the little sister sees that photograph of them two smiling.
Yep.
That douchebag isn't there and that photo isn't there.
Makes more sense.
It's just shit. They show up and then the little sister sees Shin walking away and she understands that he's a good guy. That's really what it really comes down to.
Okay.
So there's that. So that's all the differences between the light novels and all of season one.
Nice.
I did read the first like chapter or two of the next volume.
Was that the first two volumes or the first three volumes?
Together, that's all three volumes.
Okay.
What was really confusing was volumes two and three are basically one big ass volume because volume two ends with to be continued. But then volume three was like 6 hours of content specifically describing the entire final battle with Kirei and the epilogue. But the epilogue itself was like a fucking hour long. It was so crazy. Anyway, it was stupid. It was a long time. Information was there. It was good.
Yes.
But for bonus content, nothing spoiler-esque. I did read a little bit of the next book.
Okay.
So I'm only going to share very, very minor details.
Okay. For potential season two.
For a potential season two.
Yes.
For everyone to know that there is 11 volumes out and I'm on volume four at the moment.
I was looking into it. So technically there are now 12.
Oh.
As of like 2 months ago.
Oh, maybe it's Japanese. Maybe.
Yes, it's not. It has not been translated. It's only in Japanese.
Okay. Makes sense. Do you happen to remember the cat's name after Lena adopted it?
Fuck no.
Okay.
They said it one time.
No, they didn't even say it. It was literally on the
cat's
food bowl.
It was on the food bowl. And yeah, absolutely not. No, nope, okay. not even a little bit.
In the anime, it was Teppy. I'm pretty sure it was T-E-P-P-Y.
Yes, we can go with that. That makes sounds about right, I suppose.
So in volume four, they describe that the cat's name is Thermopile, or T-P for short.
Teppy. Yep. Yep. We'll go with Teppy.
So yeah, in the light novel, they say TP.
Okay.
When they describe the cat at all.
The robot does anyways.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. It's literally
T-P.
Letter T, letter P. That's its abbreviated name. So it's really strange that the anime went T-E-P-P-Y for its name. But yeah, Thermopile is a very weird name for a cat. But anyway, it doesn't matter. One other bit of information. Annette.
Yes.
Lena's best friend. Her full first name is Henrietta. And the reason she doesn't go by Henrietta is because that's how Shine knows her. There was a moment in season one where Annette and her dad, more specifically her dad, came down to her and she's like, hey, should we save this 86 boy? And Annette was very influenced by her friends and be like, no, 86 are garbage, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're gross.
Yep.
And that's why she feels so bad for shunning.
Completely understandable.
Shin. So back then, Shin knew her as Henrietta. So she goes by Annette now so that she doesn't have to remember that name.
Okay. I only know that because the character list has her as Henrietta. And I'm like, wait, who's Henrietta?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, if anybody wants to look at character list, that's why she's Henrietta and not Annette.
Understandable. Got it.
And then the last bit of information I'm going to share, this is going to be considered a spoiler, not really, but something to look forward to, is that there is a person that comes forth saying that they are Shin's grandfather.
So Shin has family.
Yeah, the family name goes above and beyond, and I'm going to say Shin's family name, Shin's bloodline, it's going to be important. They talk about psychics here and there. We know that Shin is a psychic, can hear all of the Legion.
Yep.
We know that Frederica can see.
She is a psychic.
She's a psychic because she can see anybody who's close to her. She can see the present and past of anybody. So yep. That's why when she was inside of Fido, she can witness the battle that was going on within. It's because she's close to who they are. So she can see through the eyes of our crew, and she can see through the eyes of Kirei. So she's powerful enough. And I'm only going to imagine that we're going to run into more psychics from here on forth, because we got fucking, what, 9 more volumes to go through? We got a lot of information.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So that's everything that I have to share light novel-wise. I'm pretty sure I paid enough attention to really break shut down. So before we get into actual anime talk, let's just take a quick break.
Hey, Toasties. I'm Missy, here with my bestie, Johnsy.
Hey, y'all.
Do you like mind-blowing crime cases, spooky tales, and debating theories?
Well, what a clinky-dink, so do we. Grab your beverage and be a part of our Toasted Shenanigans on your favorite podcast app.
You can even send us a story or drink suggestion. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or at ToastedShenanigans.com.
Hey, this is Tyler, one of the hosts of RangerCast. On our show, we talk about Power Rangers and other multi-unit spandex heroes. We've got news, reviews, interviews. We talk about the comics, the games, the toys, and all things more phenomenal. Find us at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or check us out at RangerCast.net. May the power protect you.
And now that we're back from our break, so now that we know the first 23 episodes covered the first 3 volumes, and we have 12 volumes as of right now, do you think they're going to continue the series?
I would imagine so, because as far as I can tell, kind of in the Google anime community, that this was a hot anime.
Okay.
And I 100% agree with how the community feels about this anime. Like, this show has to continue.
Okay.
And I can relay one last bit of information. At the end of volume 3, the author left another additional note.
Ooh.
That they were talking about how the continuing volume 4 was going to be a lighter volume.
Okay.
So kind of what we can expect out of the next season, it's going to have a very, very light and lighthearted start, because they wanted to talk about Shine and Lena's relationship and how they were going to continue.
Okay. Have the relationship continue / progress. That makes sense.
Yeah. And like I was kind of getting at, I read the first 2 chapters. They are now working together.
Yep.
And there's moments where there's flirtatious things that happen. Kind of what the only thing I'm going to get at is every time that Lena puts her hand to her chest, it's her telling herself to like calm down and get professional kind of vibe. Like, remember, these are teenagers. These are
16-year-olds.
At this point in time, they're like 17/18-year-olds because year has advanced. Anyway, the point is that they're still fucking young.
No, what are you talking about? Your time skip said 2 years, so it's got to be 2 years.
That's the other confusing part, is because book 1 had the epilogue of saying 2 years later.
Yeah.
But we know through the anime and through book 2 also was when Shinnei and the crew got picked up by the Federacy,
yeah,
they spent 6 months under them of normalizing as normal kids, you know, doing their jobs and being people before they went to go fight the Morpho.
Wasn't it a year? Because didn't they have their...
I think ultimately there might have been some stupid time skip also in there. It definitely was less than a year.
No, so it was a year because the president talks about how the like revolution day when they give gifts, he didn't give them gifts. And then the following year, he gives them gifts. And then like...
Oh, the fake dad dude who adopted them?
Yep.
Yep. So that makes sense too. Yeah, so I think it's been a full year.
At least 1 year has passed.
At least, yeah. According to Volume 1, it definitely wasn't the two-year deal. I don't know. Maybe there was some plot hole shit that was going on.
They just changed their mind. Yeah. It 1 year. Okay. So they're 17-ish at this point.
Right. But back to your original question, do I expect them to continue the story? This background information that I know that there's 12 volumes, 100%, there's no doubt in my mind. And like what I was trying to get at earlier in this episode was, yes, boy meets girl, they finally meet up, but the world is still on fire behind them. We still have so much more to answer for.
Okay.
So yes, I imagine them working together to try to save the world, hand in hand, try to do the best that they can for humanity's sake. Okay. So I understand that. Oh, I guess another little thing that I can throw out there is that, remember in Core 2, Bloody Regina, where she has that red strand of hair?
Yes.
She eventually gets rid of that red strand of hair.
Ooh, okay. Because
the whole purpose of that red strand was because she thought that her crew of 86, Shin and his crew, were dead.
Yeah.
That red strand was for them. Now that she knows that they are not dead, Shin convinces her to let her go back to her natural hair color. So she's not going to keep that hair color.
That makes sense because, you know, it's a memento of remembrance. And you're like, but we're not dead. So don't.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, another weird thing is, remember when the Morpho officially died and Lena was sitting in the field and Shinnei was talking to her through the microphone out, whatever. Lena doesn't know that at that moment she was talking to Shinnei.
Yes.
And Shinnei never told her that that was at that moment. So there was a moment in the light novel where she was like, I need to go find that guy and tell him that I'm okay or whatever. Like, she's separating the two ideas because they've never been connected. So I thought I had an LOL moment at that point because like it is funny because whatever.
No, that is a funny moment. I would agree.
I can't wait to see that in the anime. Whatever. The point is I can't wait for season 2.
Okay.
I guess the ultimate point is yes, I do expect a season 2.
Okay.
Because the Legion is not over with.
Yes.
That's what it ultimately comes down to. I guess it might be fair to ask, would you have been okay with this being a cutoff, done and over with, season 1, or did you 100% expect a season 2 out of this?
No, I think it's done. I do think it's done.
Like anime-wise?
Yeah. I think they're going to just be like, nope, that's our break. The end goal of the series has happened, and we're not going to spend the money to essentially reiterate the end goal, which we've already seen.
Okay.
So I think they're done.
Ooh, I think that's a very bold statement of you. I think that the animation was so beautifully done. They put a lot of time and effort into this.
Yep.
Basically movie quality
A1 Studios?
I don't remember. I didn't look into that part.
Is it A1? That's one of the big ones. Yeah. So it's done by one of the major studios. So it's pretty on par with their quality.
Right. So the quality is amazing.
Yep.
And it makes sense that the way that they ended it would be a clean cut.
Yeah, I just don't think they're not going to get anything out of this story, if that makes sense. Like, all you're going to really get as a viewer is you're going to get more action, which, okay, cool. Yep. But the whole plot of the series is going to be they're going to get together. They're going to kill the Legion. They're going to stay together. Like, that's the whole... That's your whole arc in the series. That's what's left.
That's what has to be.
So I don't think they're going to continue.
I don't think anything beyond what you originally thought as an original watcher.
Yep.
I watch this series normally like anybody other, like anybody else. And I did think that was a clean cut. I thought that was the end. Boy finally met up with girl, and we can just imagine that it's going to be a happy ending.
Yeah, because, I mean, he can, if you wanted to add to it, you could get that he finally brings everybody to the ocean and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, the ocean scene too, yeah.
But
we can bring some Attack on Titan kind of bullshit into this.
Well, that's what he said he wanted to do, was he wanted to bring all of his friends to the ocean.
Well, that was, he made that mention that he didn't know what else to do with himself other than making other people happy.
Yes.
Prior to meeting up with Lena again.
So, but just like the emotional attachment just isn't there. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. But it's just the feeling you have if you were to essentially get this a second time wouldn't be as good. As a reader, I would probably enjoy it because by the time you go from book 3 or 2 or wherever they meet up to book, we'll say 15, like when it's concluded, we'll just say 15 is the end. It'll be many years and a lot of reading in between. So like it's not going to be on your mind as well as in an anime where you'll kind of rewatch the ending of this season to continue if it's been, you know, if it's been a while since you watched the next season, so that just the emotional attachment is going to be different.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that they're not going to do it, because it's not going to have the same effect essentially watching the same thing a second time.
Yeah, I totally get it.
While I think they'll do a good job if they made a second one, I don't think they're going to.
It's hard to imagine the next big baddie for a season 2 / however long they want to elaborate on being the next big baddie. I mean, obviously it took 23 episodes to get through season 1.
Yep.
Even though it was still separated by 2 baddies. And, you know, it's core 1 was the brother, core 2 was...
Yeah, let's kind of talk about that. Like, there's 2 very separate story arcs within the first series.
Right. They might as well have separated this into 2 different seasons. This needs to be an example of why seasons need to be separated between seasons and cores. Like, this should not be a core 1, core 2. This should be a season 1, season 2 kind of thing. It was a good, clean cut between season 1, season 2. I feel
that one. I mean, I understand, but I don't mind it because it's very old school anime esque, where it's they just continued.
It is, but this was also like what 2019 that this anime came out.
So this came out in 21.
Anime wise,
yes. And so 2 years, we're going on 2, maybe 3 years, depending on like when it officially started.
Right. Yeah. So we've had some time. Not only that, but like at this moment, we've had some time for them to fucking potentially get ready for a season 2. So I wonder what they might be thinking in the meantime. Anyway.
So yeah, I think we're gonna get season 1, and that's gonna be the end of it, and I will be fine with that. Do you have a favorite character from season 1?
We can always lean towards the main character,
okay.
Shinae. Of course, he was awesome.
I guess, do you consider Shin the main character?
Shin, he was definitely the main character.
Okay.
Unless you have a different thought process, I think Shin, at least because I have been going through the light novel.
Yep.
And him being the Headless Reaper.
Yep.
The light novel made fucking hardcore concept knowledge that, like, he was the Headless Reaper with the shovel.
Yeah.
And they said that so often.
Okay. No, I do completely agree. He is the main character.
Okay. I was going to say, because if you think otherwise, I need you to defend that so bad, because I need, because you said that statement. Okay. Anyway, Shin, he's awesome.
Yes.
One more thing I can spoil. Not that they really has spoiled anything. Frederica explained how Shinae was very, very good on close combat.
Yep.
He's good on close combat in his machine and in actual person.
Interesting.
Potential. What we could potentially see in the next season is that there's going to be this woman who is very masculine and tall. So she's a very brute fucking woman. And okay. She's going to go toe-to-toe with Shine, and they're going to fight.
Okay.
And they're going to talk about how Shin always goes for the fucking kill shot, which is like, I think he always kicks towards the jaw.
Okay.
Which is what they're trying to describe as a kill shot. And she defends herself really well. I don't remember her name right now because that's where I stopped reading. We're getting way too far, and I'm already describing too much for you guys. Anyway, Shine he's a good fighter, close combat fighter.
Yep.
Obviously, he's main character boy. He's awesome.
Yep.
I will give some other characters some props, but before I obviously Shin is the guy. So
okay,
before I go give anybody else some props, who are you fanboying over?
Shin is definitely, he has to be the choice, but I guess I kind of want to go with Lena.
Definitely.
I like everything she stood for. I like the fact that, you know, she eventually worked up the courage to basically say, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever I want, because I'm either going to personally hate myself for not acting, or I'm going to get in trouble, and essentially I'm going to get in trouble anyway. So fuck it. Let me just do what I'm going to do, because she knows there's no repercussions for her actions.
Yeah. I do have another bit of information.
Okay. So I really like her.
In response to her repercussion kinds of thing, and her, how she feels that she can do whatever she wants because of her military basis.
Yep.
So she knows that she goes through her uncle to go through whatever she wants to go through.
Yes, which is Karistal, I think is how you say his name.
I'll go with that. I didn't write it down.
I'm looking at it. It's Jeremu Karistal, I think is basically dude with scar on his face. Uncle.
We'll just go with that.
Yep.
So there was a moment towards the end of Core 2 where he was trying to describe the idea that adults need to take over little kids' ideas and just take control of them.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much a little mind can do, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
What ends up being explained, the whole purpose of that was for the uncle to buy her more time for what she wanted to get done. What the anime doesn't show that the light novel did explain was that the uncle did die.
You could infer it, but yes.
You could. It's not point blank, but the light novel does say it.
Okay.
Point blank is that he gave his life to buy Lena more time for her to
essentially take over command of all the 86. Yeah.
The uncle went into war. He put on that gun over his shoulder and he went to go fight. Lena is familyless. She literally has nobody. She doesn't have a mother. She doesn't have a father. She doesn't have an uncle. And outside of that, like, she has nothing. So as we move forward through this story, she's only going to be more and more attached to this 86 crew. And that's all I can really say about that, because I didn't read any much further, but that's obvious.
Yeah, it's essentially her surrogate family, which she does find Shin, you know, she has a emotional attachment to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes complete sense. I don't remember. Do they talk about the mother at all? I know they mentioned that she's not around, but I don't remember if they really talk about how she dies or anything along those lines.
You know, they might have.
I don't.
In the vagueness of this robotic voice that I was listening to, it might have been explained, but I'm really not remembering anything.
Nothing
too familiar.
So they do talk about the father. Basically, he died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah, he died in
The helicopter crash.
When she met Sheen's brother.
Yep.
So in that battle.
Yep.
That's when she lost her father.
I do remember that. It almost seems like she pseudo-adopts Lena as far as, like, big sister/mother kind of role.
When she was younger?
No, just that's kind of what I viewed their friendship as. It's more like the kind of, like, big sister kind of role.
How Annette was, like, the big sister for Lena?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely how it seemed in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then when they had that fight and then...
I still took that as a big sister kind of thing. Like, just a family kind of feud.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, when Lena showed up and did, like, a big balls move and be like, hey, I know you're old boy, he's gonna die unless you fucking give me the commands to lay all these.
He's my future boyfriend and big sister. You're gonna help. You're gonna help me out.
I'm gonna fuck your best friend from the years past.
Yes.
Unless you, all. That's all it really comes down to. I mean, like we all know, this is a boy meets girl kind of story. I'm only also being very specific on this because this is what the author said. So.
Yeah, there are a lot of characters you can enjoy in this series, and that's really nice. But there's so many that you can kind of forget who's who.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so speaking of more characters, let's talk about Laughing Fox.
Okay. Do you remember what his name is? I guess which Laughing Fox are you talking about? Because technically there's two of them.
Theo.
Yep.
Theo is, I guess, it's almost hard to say, but in the first half of the series, I really appreciated Laughing Fox. Fox, Theo. And it is really because that moment where he fucking lays the beat down on Lena about how you don't know shit. You don't know who we are. You haven't even asked our names. You claim you like us and you literally don't even know us.
Yeah. Like calls her out on her bullshit.
Yes. There's so much reality that comes straight forth. This dude was trying to do point blank shit. Like, it is what it is.
Yep.
And you need to stop faking who you are. It's not even that you were faking. Like, you need the point is the energy that the voice actor for Theo gave out was so
amazing. Yeah, it was a very, very well done moment. I would completely agree.
Whoever the voice actor was for this scene went above and beyond. And for this anime, fucking nailed it. And I love Theo for this very specific scene, super specifically.
Yep.
Theo is, outside of that, he has a handful of other moments that are very interesting. Even the light novel says that he stretches and, like, he just does some random-ass fucking stretches. And the anime does show that, which I found very funny. But that's beside the point. But Theo himself is just... He's a real character, okay? Yeah. If I was to be in his shoes, I might not be the asshole enough to say that scene, but outside of that, in Core 2 and beyond, I can see me being him, like just staying the obvious, but like when we got adopted by the Federacy, we are nobodies to you. You have no idea who we are, and Theo made the idea, like, why are we even alive? Like, if you killed us, it would be even easier on you guys.
Yep.
He made the concept of, we are 86, so when the Federacy wanted to adopt recruits to take place in battle, they had no better option other than this 86 crew, even though the Federacy had the idea that, like, we're not going to make these guys who were forced into battle fight, but everybody wanted to fight regardless. Anyway, I don't know. It's a whole fucking weird thing.
Yeah. Yes. No, I know what you're getting at. I think the Theo is an amazing character. I do like the fact that it's a powerful moment when he calls out Lena. I guess speaking of moments, did you have a favorite moment?
Favorite moment?
Yeah. Favorite moment.
Episode 23.
Okay.
The tear-jerking moment.
Like, okay, yep, like the very end. Yep. Okay, so besides the obvious, did you have a favorite?
Okay, thank you. Yes, besides the obvious.
Because, yes, that is probably the best moment of the entire series. Is it going to be the Theo calling out Lena?
That is the next one.
Okay.
That is basically why I brought it up so early, is because I love that moment so much.
Understandable.
I mean, obviously, that whole entire concept was in the light novel, too. It was a little... tiny tweaked. It's basically the same exact thing. Whatever. Yep. Didn't matter. It was the same exact concept. That moment was so real, and it was, you need to think about ethics, basically. That's what it comes down to, is what's something that's coming to your mind.
Oh, man. I would probably have to say, beside like some of the moments that you're going to miss that I thought really stood out were, I really liked when, like, the fireworks scene, where Lena and Shin were kind of talking, kind of watching the fireworks together. Because it gave some foreshadowing of what what we should expect in the future. Basically, what the whole purpose of the entire series was.
Yep. The light novel talked about this later in the series too, yep. Where that scene that what you're talking about right now, that they said that we shared a moment in the sky at separate destinations. Like we saw the same sky at different places, but we were both there. So yep. That's why Lena was gravitated towards holding that to be a thing.
Yeah. Basically. And it was kind of probably one of the first moments where she was more, like, she showed that she was more interested in the 86 than the Republic.
Yep.
So kind of a very good character development moment for Lena.
One thing that might have been confusing to anybody watching / whatever was, let's go back to when Shin was fighting the Morpho.
Okay.
The big ass robot, whatever. And Kyrie in the Legion, his code name was No Face.
Okay.
I don't know how close, for all of our listeners, depends on how close of attention you were paying. His name was No Face. And he was talking to somebody else who, what I would assume, is going to be someone on the higher up. And the higher up was Pale Face.
Okay.
The Morpho is responding to somebody above him.
Yep.
Which I guess in return is even more of a reason why there isn't a clean cut at the end of this season.
Okay.
We may have killed Kyrie, who is this person, but we're not done with everything. Like I was saying also, the world, Earth is still, we are still on fire. This just brings more into focus that there was communication between our main baddie here in Core 2.
Yep.
Who was he communicating to? Because whoever that is, the world isn't going to be safe until we get to that moment.
Okay.
Until we take care of whoever that is.
Yep.
Makes sense. So we can have some lovey-dovey stuff in between, but we're not going to have a happy ending until whoever, Paleface is? Yeah.
No Face. Paleface or No Face, whichever one.
No Face was Kyrie. Paleface is whoever we're going to burst against next.
Mysterious Legion person.
Exactly. Paleface.
Okay.
So we must destroy Whitey.
Yes, we have a third individual that we need to defeat before the world can be safe, I suppose.
Also, we're like what, 200-300 years in the future, supposedly. This calendar. Yeah. I like that they do that. I like when they do futuristic kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, no, I get that. So I know this was definitely a series that I slept on mainly in part because it was a mech series and I'm not a huge mech person. Do you think this is a series that other people kind of like us who are not huge mech people would enjoy?
I 100% agree with people how I would used to think.
Yep.
That's the best way I can say that.
Okay.
Because yes, this is considered a mech anime.
Yep.
But this is like so much more than that.
Yes, there's a lot to this series, way beyond just being mech.
And it's hard to put that into like a category. This needs to be in multiple categories. I don't know. So what I'm kind of thinking is, because I know you're going to ask eventually what I'm going to think about this.
Yep.
Overall.
Yep.
I'm thinking that this anime deserves like a 9 to a 9.5.
Okay.
The first half was way more solid than the second half, but the second half definitely solidified a lot more answers. I'm still going to give this a solid 9.
Like, okay.
This is a must-see. It's mech. It's story building.
Yep.
It's beautiful. If you want emotions, it's fucking there. I watched this season twice.
Okay.
Episode 23.
Got you both times?
I cannot. I cried. I cried both times. I could not stop but cry. I had to.
Yep. Nope. Episode 23, definitely.
It was fucking beautiful. It was perfect. I love this series.
So I will say I really, really enjoyed this series. It can get a little convoluted. Like there's just so much to it. It's very easy to miss stuff. I would probably give this like a 7.5 to an 8, which just means it's a very, very solid show. There's some things that you can nitpick that you might not like, because it does get kind of up and down where it's like a lot of action. Okay, now we're going to do like very slow. We're just going to build stuff and we're just going to kind of keep flowing. I didn't mind that, but it's like the action you could almost say got kind of repetitive where it was, all right, fight a bad guy and Shin's going to do something and now we've continued. Like that's just kind of how the story progresses. It's not an issue. I really enjoyed the series, but I'm just not a huge mech person and I
100% agree.
So again, I thought it's very high quality, very good. I feel like people who don't necessarily like anime would definitely fall for this one. For shonen people, they have to, you know, look past power ups and stuff like this. It's a very good series. It is highly recommended. It rates very well, and there's a reason it rates very well. It needs to be watched. I just don't. It's got some flaws to me. So
can you pinpoint some flaws?
So because there's so much that's going on, like almost especially in the beginning of the series, like it gets kind of hard to follow sometimes and just kind of keeping track of who some of the characters are, what's going on. That can be an issue. Again, I don't mind that. But if you don't pay attention throughout the entire episode, you're going to miss stuff. Mm-hmm. And not every person who watches anime wants to have to pay attention to the entire episode. They want to be able to multitask and not have to rewatch episodes to know what's going on. Again, I don't mind that, but it's not for everybody. So that can be an issue. Kind of like Attack on Titan, it took me 2 times through to actually be able to really get through it. Mm-hmm. I think that might just be a reoccurring thing where it's like, hey, we're going to throw 100 things at you in the beginning, and then we're going to kind of explain everything later on. So here you go. That might be a personal issue I have with some series where it's like we gave you all this information in the beginning and then throughout this series we explain what's going on. So again, that might be, I think that's just a me thing where I don't really care for it.
No, don't put yourself too deep into a hole, because when it comes down to it, you were a first watcher and you were a second watcher. Mm-hmm. And not only after that, you were a person that wants to talk about it afterwards.
Yep.
So I can talk about as a first watcher, a second watcher, a third watcher, a listener and beyond. Mm-hmm. I completely understand exactly where you're coming from. Yep. When it comes to things not being explained fully.
Yep.
So that's why there's supposedly at this moment 12 volumes of information.
Is that why they have 3 recap episodes?
That doesn't necessarily explain what's going to happen in the future. We know that the story fucking continues.
Yes.
But you, as listeners, are you satisfied with boy meets girl? And just stop it right there.
Let us know in the comments what you think of the conclusion of season 1, if you think the series should end.
Yeah.
I'd like love to have this conversation. Maybe we'll get a tally up. Again, this series is fantastic. Highly recommend. Probably one of my top 5 for recommendations. It is amazing. It is very well done. And anybody who hasn't watched it, go out there, watch it, and you will not be disappointed. It's so good. And with that, please make sure to check out the anime show on Facebook and Instagram. Check out all the awesome anime content they have on there. They're posting something new every single day, getting awesome updates on upcoming anime. Also, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you are listening to us. Drop a like on this episode and leave a comment. Let us know, what did you think of 86? And have a good one.
There you go.